हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Oh, ಜಯದ್ವೈತಾಗದಧರ ಶಿವನು ಕೋ ಭಕ್ತವೈಲ
ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Krishna, 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 Krish Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha
Radha Govinda Nanda Radha Govinda Nanda Radhe Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 Jaya Gauramitai 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 Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada
Jayam Vishvapada Paramahamsa Pariprajakacharya Ashtotra Sadashri Shriman Abhacharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Harashila Prabhupadiki Jayam Nitila Pravishtom Vishvapada Paramahamsa Pariprajakacharya Ashtotra Sadashri Shriman Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Maharashila Prabhupadiki Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasa Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhuravari Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Dwaraka Puri Dham Ki Gangamayi Ki Yamunamayi Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki All Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namamishna Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudaleshya Vakrivananda Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Mam Gauravani Prajari Nandavishesha Shunyavadi Vashyati Desha Dharine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurunmilinam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabhidam Yena Bhudale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadadim Subhadandiyam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahaganaripunadhanvidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaidam Savadhudam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvidam Scham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagalpade Govesha Govika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostude Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhana Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarubhyascha Kruva Sindhu Bhyayevacha Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Pathaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advainam Mudavarshinim Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavad Gide Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullaravindayada Vatranetram Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradibam Prabhanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrda Duhe Namam Sarvopanishado Gavo Dukha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dukham Gita Amratam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguram Bhishma Drona Tadajaya Dradajala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalya Grahavadi Kratena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalubanda Vairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshavam Parashadya Vajasarojamamalam Gidathagandholkadam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambhodhana Bhodidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadairah Rahappe Viyamanam Muda Bhuyadharada Bangajakkalimala Pradvamsina Shreyase Mukam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marudastvan Vandiri Vaistavai Vedai Sangapadai Kramopanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaham Dhyana Vastida Vagradena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Mavidusura Asuraganai Devaya Tasmai Namam Om Shri Krishnaya Namah Shri Madhiradhyaya Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangeetanam Govinda Govinda
So, last Sunday we were talking about the Bhagavad Gita's revision of all the chapters. We have completed the third chapter, and in the fourth chapter we were talking about the verse 18. Krishna says, Karmanya karmaye pashyel akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. That is what where we stopped. Karmanya karmaye pashyel akarmanija karmaya is a very difficult verse in the sense that Krishna says karmanya akarmaye pashyel, one who sees karmam in akarmam, and akarmanija karmaya, and in akarmam karmam. Sabuddhiman manushyeshu, such a person is intelligent. Sayukta krishna karmakrat. So Krishna's point is that when we have studied the second chapter onwards, Krishna talked about karmam, isn't it? So the importance of karmam and how the karmam affects a person, all these things we have discussed in the third chapter, the importance of karmam, karma yogam. So in this chapter, Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yogam, Krishna is talking about the relationship between karmam and how karmam we have seen. Krishna says here, karmanya karmaye pashyel, that Akarmam is Brahmam. Brahmam is in which the, all the karma is acting. Listen, all the karma is happens within this creation. And the basis of all that is Brahman, as Krishna has explained before. Karmanya karma ye pashyel, which means that although all the different kinds of karma is going on in this world, the basis of all these karma, Brahman, has nothing to do with it. Brahman has nothing to do with it. It is the individuals, later on you will see in the 18th chapter, how a living entity works in this world under the direction of the material energy. Brahman, the Supreme Spirit, which is pervading all over, has nothing to do with it. That's what Krishna says here. Karman akarmaye pashyel. One who sees karmam and akarmam in karmam. In other words, akarmam is the one which has no activity. Brahman has no activity. But all the activities are going on within this, within the creation. Similarly, akarmanija karmaya, Krishna also says in akarmam that Brahman has nothing to do with karmam. There is no karmam that touches Brahman. Brahman is not influenced by karmam at all. Or Krishna is explaining that the spirit soul, or the soul has nothing to do with the activities in this world. The soul has nothing to do with the activities in this world. One who is able to differentiate that, Krishna says, sabuddhiman manushyeshu, he is an intelligent person. That is what the point he is making. That we normally mix up everything together. We think that the activities in this world is completely direct related to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Spirit. And the spirit, Supreme Spirit has nothing to do with it. He is independent of that. Although he controls everything. He does not get affected by it. In no way he gets affected by that. Nothing will affect the Supreme Personality, Krishna. So, in that verse, Krishna has spoken about that. And he also says that, that in the next verses, Krishna says that the, verse number 24, Krishna talks about, in the same chapter, verse number 24, Krishna says again, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahudam Brahmaivadenagandarvyam Brahmakarma Samadhinaha. Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, everything has been offered to Brahman. As a havis. Havis means the offering in the sacrifice. Krishna says everything should be seen in that way. That Brahman absorbs everything. Brahman absorbs everything as it is offered to Brahman. So Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir. In this chapter, everything is the word used is Brahman. So, just like normally we have an understanding that while we make offerings to Krishna, while we make certain offerings to Krishna, we have certain rules and regulations to follow, isn't it? Certain rules and regulations to follow. So when we offer anything to Krishna, it has to be done only within those rules and regulations. Only within those rules and regulations. For example, while coming to the temple or when we offer something to the deities, there are certain restrictions, there are certain rules to be followed, which have been, Krishna himself has spoken about it in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also by the great authorities. They have established certain rules to follow. But when it comes to activities and certain things which are not actually coming within that jurisdiction of what is being offered to Krishna, Krishna's impersonal form of Brahman is allowed to be accept those things. That is what it is said like this, that Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahudam Brahmaiva Denagandarvyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Everything that is offered to Brahman, Brahman is not affected by anything. He is able to absorb anything, whatever that has been offered. Sometimes our activities, even in Krishna consciousness, sometimes may not be perfect. But in such situations, you have to say to Krishna that in your Brahman, as Brahman, you should be able to accept, even though I have committed several mistakes or several faults in my effort in pleasing you, in pleasing Krishna. So that is important. That is why all the sacrifices, generally Vedic sacrifices, come under the purview of Rajasam and Tamasam. But when the same sacrifices are offered with Om Tat Sat, as we seen in the 17th chapter, they become purified and is being acceptable to the Supreme Lord. But in the Brahman aspect, that is why it is said like that. Then, if you go into the later verses, you will see in the verse number 438, Krishna says there that Nahijnanena sadrisham pavitramihi vidyate tal swayam yoga samsiddha kalena almani vindati. That Krishna says there, Nahijnanena sadrisham pavitramihi vidyate, that one who has purified oneself through karma yogam or spiritual activities, automatically his mind is purified, he will be able to realize the self. In other words, the spiritual knowledge will build up in such a person. The most important thing Krishna has mentioned here is that the different kinds of different kinds of vichepa means the interruptions that cause into the mind, is taken out as soon as the mind becomes peaceful by chanting the holy name. And when that happens, all other different disturbances which happens in the mind goes away, and the mind is peaceful enough to accept the mind gets purified to accept the spiritual knowledge. So in these chapters, Krishna is talking about the qualifications of a person who wants to advance in the spiritual path. Then Krishna says in the 39 verse, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, talpara sayadendriya, jnanam labdhva param shantim, ajirenadi gachari. Then, Krishna says, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, when one is serious about spiritual knowledge, Krishna says about spiritual knowledge, Shraddhavan, the word Krishna uses is Shraddhavan. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, only through Shraddha one will receive the spiritual knowledge, Krishna says. And in many instances, why people are not able to develop that understanding is because of the lack of Shraddha, lack of seriousness in that. And therefore, that delay also happens in such cases. When the inquisitiveness or the seriousness increases, automatically the spiritual knowledge also builds up in a person. So, when the desire happens and the Shraddha happens, seriously, automatically Krishna says the knowledge will also come to such a person. So, with that the fourth chapter comes to an end, and Krishna talked about in the fifth chapter what is known as Karma Sannyasa Yogam. Now, after this fourth chapter, Arjuna had a serious doubt. Arjuna's doubt was this. In the second chapter, Krishna spoke about jnanam, about knowledge. And also Krishna talked about karma, isn't it? Krishna talked about jnanam as well as karma. But as soon as the third chapter began, Arjuna asked Krishna, why have you told me in this way? That on the one hand you have glorified jnanam, and the other hand you have also said that karma is also important. So which one should I choose? And it is at that time that Krishna came back and answered that karma yogam, if it is executed karma yogam properly, immediately it will also give opportunity for the person to advance in the spiritual life. So he stressed the important point there about karma yogam, how to transfer or transform one's activities into karma yogam. And this is why it is called karma yogam. When karma becomes a yogam, it becomes karma yogam. So Krishna says there that when karma is transformed into a yogam through the process what Krishna has talked about, and when it is performed as a yajnam or a sacrifice to please Krishna, at that time it becomes karma yogam. Krishna answered that question, and immediately in the fourth chapter we have seen now that why Arjuna asked again the question, this was not clear to him yet. Jnanam or karmam is more important, whether the knowledge is important or the action is important. So jnanam and karmam is not the goal. That is what Krishna says in the fourth chapter. Jnanam and karmam, ultimately one has to give up all that and come to Krishna. Jnanam is not important. Jnanam and karmam is not important, but Krishna is more important. In other words, the goal is Krishna, not jnanam and karmam. That's what Krishna has spoken about in the fourth chapter. Again, coming to the fifth chapter, Krishna started explaining that people have the misunderstanding that if he engages in karmam, that he will lose his spiritual position, brahmanishtha. There are two things, brahmanishtha and karmanishtha. Brahmanishtha means completely absorbed mind in spiritual realizations, on spiritual knowledge. One who has a spiritual knowledge and is able to control his mind and absorb himself in the absolute truth, he is called brahmanishtha. Yes, he is brahmanishtha. And one who engages in karmam, and at the same time offer everything to Krishna as a yoga and becomes karma yogam, he is karmanishtha. So strictly speaking, in the past, in the olden times, the brahmanas were brahmanishtas and the kshatriyas were karmanishtha. So Brahmam and Kshatram, these two things, actually follow the core of the Vedic philosophy, the Kodik Vedic culture. So Brahmam and Kshatram, Brahmanas followed Brahmanishta and Kshatriyas followed the Karmanishta. So here the question came up that one who by engaging in karmam, one need not fall from his position as Brahmanishta in his realizations, nor one not by doing any karmam, he is going to achieve that position as Brahmanishtam. And that is what he has discussed in this chapter. Krishna is trying to explain to Arjuna the very, very fine details of karmam and its implications to one who wants to advance in the spiritual life. That's called as the karma sannyasam. And 5.14, in that verse, Krishna says where? 5.14, that these are important verses. Na kartrutvam na karmani logasya sajadi prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. Krishna says na kartrutvam na karmani. Krishna has no karmam, or Krishna is not expecting any results from the karma. In other words, there is no ownership for anything. Either I am the doer or the enjoyer. This feeling doesn't exist in Krishna. And one who is advancing on spiritual path, Krishna says, the same thinking has to come. Na kartrutvam na karmani logasya sajati prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. As long as one realizes it is one's nature that forces someone to act in a particular way, svabhavastu pravartate. It is not that a person makes so many different plans, but where does this plan coming from? It is coming from his own internal nature, the nature, the svabhavam. Svabhavam means svabhava means one's vasanas that has followed him from his previous actions. So the accumulation of all the vasanas that develops into svabhavam, and that svabhavam actually pushes a particular person to act one way or the other. That's what Krishna is saying there. Na karma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. And in the verse 29, Krishna says, and there are so many verses in all these chapters which are important, but in order to just to get the important things mentioned here, Krishna says there, Bhoktaram yatyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrutam sarvabhudanam yatuamam shantimrachadim. That after discussing Sanghyam in the second chapter and Karmam in the third, fourth and fifth chapter, Krishna is now coming, Krishna has looked at Karma Yogam from different angles, isn't it? Karma Yogam was looked at different angles. Now, whatever one has to know about Karmam, Krishna has explained in these three chapters. But by Karmam alone, one does not get liberated. Karmi does not have liberation. He has to come. Karmam is actually a cause of bondage. Therefore, as long as there is karmam, he is not going to be liberated either. But Krishna is saying here that karmam, if it is executed as a yoga system, as a karma yogam, the same thing can become a cause of liberation. Otherwise, simply by executing karmam alone in this world, one does not get released from the bondage or the cycle of birth and death. Only when the karmam is transformed into karma yogam, that will release him from the bondage. That's why Krishna is saying here, Bhoktaram yadavasam sarvaloga maheshwaram sukhrutam sarvabhudanam yatuamam shantimrachari. Krishna says the only way one will come to that peaceful understanding is when one understands what is the Krishna's role in all these things. Because he is the Bhoktaram yadavasam, all the sacrifices, austerities, everything. And sarvaloga maheshwaram, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhoktaram, he is the proprietor, he is the enjoyer. Suhradam sarvabhudanam yatuamam shantimrachari. When one sees this point, Suhradam sarvabhudanam, he is the well-wisher and friend of all the living entities. When one knows this, yatuamam shantimrachari, Krishna says he becomes properly situated or peaceful in his existence. So all these three chapters, after second chapter, third, fourth, fifth, three chapters, Krishna is completely devoted to discuss karma in the Bhagavad Gita. That's very important because it is through karma, it is through this karma that one makes that progress in the spiritual life also. Because you see, the material body itself is a product of karma. That is why we got this body. Because of karma, we got this body. Having obtained this body, how to move further from there, by purifying that karmam, what we have performed before. And karmam is an integral part of everybody. No one can free oneself from karmam. That follows him. So in order to do that, Krishna explains in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself how to change that karmam into karma yogam. And that is what we have discussed so far. After performing karma yogam, after executing karma yogam, one becomes purified enough to go on to the next stage, what is known as dhyana yogam. That is why in the sixth chapter, Krishna talks about dhyanam or meditations. Or when can one can only perform meditation when one's mind is peaceful. And that peacefulness of the mind comes from karma yogam. Karma yogam purifies a person. And one is purified through karma yogam, he is qualified to execute dhyana yogam or the meditation, process of meditation. That is why in the first verse Krishna says, anavishrita karma phalam karyam karma karodhiya sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragdirna cha kriyam. Krishna says, anavishrita karma phalam, only when one has given up the results of his activities, and simply executed karma yogam, and by which he has purified himself and developed some detachment from this world, Krishna says such a person can move on to the next stage of dhyanam or meditation. Anashrita karma balam karyam karma karodhiya sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. Such a sanyasi or a yogi, he can execute, he can perform such a meditation process. Then in the fifth verse Krishna says, ഉദ്ധരേത് ആത്മനാത്മാനം ആത്മാനമവസാദയേൽ ആത്മന്യൈ ആത്മനോ ബന്ധു ആത്മയോമിനിരാത്മന. വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി സിക്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. ഉദ്ധരേത് ആത്മനാത്മാനം, കൃഷ്ണ സെയ്സ് ഉദ്ധരേത്, വൺ ഷുഡ് എലിവേറ്റ് വൺ സെൽഫ്. കൃഷ്ണ സെയ്സ് ഐ ആം ദെയർ ഫോർ യു. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് നോട്ട് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് ടു ഡു ഇറ്റ് യുവർ സെൽഫ്. ദിസ് ഇസ് ദി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് തിങ് ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത് ഗീത. ഭഗവത് ഗീത ഇസ് നോട്ട് സെയിങ് നൗ ലീവ് എവറിഥിങ് ദൻ ഐ ടേക്ക് കെയർ ഓഫ് എവറിഥിങ്. Yes, for one who has become serious in spiritual life, for him Krishna does that. But in order to do that, one has to take that process also seriously. That's why Krishna says here, Udharet Atmanam Atmanam Na Atmanam Avasadayel Atmanyai Valpano Bandhu Atmanyai Vabirir Atmanam. One should elevate oneself, Krishna says. That is what Krishna likes. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That when one feels that one is not feeling the strength in spiritual life to continue, he should take these words of Krishna very seriously and read it again and again, these verses. Because this is the ability in a person to fight against this weakness of the mind and weakness of the heart. Udharet, Krishna says Udharet, one should elevate oneself. Atman Atmanam. Na Atmanam Avasadayel, one should not fall into the weaknesses of the heart. Atmanyaiva Atmano Bandhu, only the friend one who has is himself. Atmaiva Virir Atmana, how one develops that mind, in whichever way one develops that mind, he will be able to take advantage of it and he will go up or go down according to his own effort. In other words, Krishna is saying one should cultivate a mind in such a way that it is favorable for Krishna consciousness. If it's not favorable, continuously questioning, if friction builds up within the self, within oneself, within the mind, then automatically he will feel weak in his heart to execute spiritual life. After having spoken Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what do we find? At every point Krishna is pointing out this one thing. Udharet Atmanam 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 Avasadayel Atmanyaiva Atmano Bandhu Atmaiva Virir Atmanam. Udharet, Krishna says, elevate yourself. That Krishna says here, that for one, the friend and enemy is oneself. There is no point in blaming the rest of the world. They are not responsible for it. Unfortunately, when we don't understand what Krishna is talking about, we blame the rest of the world for all our misfortunes. Why we don't want to take to Krishna consciousness? Because of somebody has said something or somebody has done something to me. Or that person has done. This has no meaning, because Bhagavad Gita has not talked in that way. Krishna has not instructed us in that way. Krishna says, Udharet Atman Atmanam. One has to follow the process, what Krishna has given. And Krishna says through that process, that one, when one elevates oneself, he is his friend. If he is not doing that, he is his enemy also. Talking about the mind. talking about the mind. So therefore, all these situations, unhappiness, happiness, everything, we have created ourselves. That therefore, in order to escape from that, one has to put one's own effort. That's what Krishna has spoken here. And then after that, in the ninth verse, Krishna is talking about the in the sixth chapter, verse 9, Krishna says there, Suhur Mitra Ridasinam Madhyastha Dvesha Bandushu Swadu Shamija Babeshu Samabuddhar Vishishyate. That this Vedavudhi means to see someone as my friend, someone as my enemy, and someone is pious, sinfulness, sinful. All these dualities has come to a person that will only cause disturbances in his mind. That's what Krishna is saying. Suhur Mitri Udasinan Madhyastha Dvesha Bandushu Swadu Shabija Babeshu Samabuddhar Vishishyade. As long as one develops this Vedavudhi, as long as he starts seeing in different living entities which has come, their nature has come due to their association with the modes of nature. And when one starts interacting with that, he will see these differences and start finding different problems with that. So that's what he has pointed out. Krishna has spoken about that in that verse. And then in the next verse, Krishna says, 6:11, Krishna says, Shijau deshe pradishtapim sinavasana valpana na tuchidam nadinijam chelajina kushottaram. Krishna says here that how one should execute meditation, how one should be seated properly, and those things are discussed in that verse, that how one should be comfortable while performing the meditations in that way. Then in the verse 24 and 25, Krishna talks about two things. Sangalpa prahovan kamam tiktva sarvana sheshada manasai vendriya gramam miniyamya samandadaha shani shani rupamrel ubramel vidyadrati krihiraya atma samstam manakritva nakinjit abhichindayel. Krishna says, when one tries to control the mind, different kinds of desires and different different things will come and disturb the mind. Karma vasanas, in other words, they'll come and start flowing through the mind. And that should be first controlled. That's what he says. Manasai vindriya gramam miniyamya samandada. When one, that is, one has succeeded in controlling his mind, then he will be able to control his senses. So the mind is the first enemy. That is what Krishna is pointing out throughout this chapter. That when one has controlled the mind, the result is that he'll be able to control the senses as well. And when the senses are controlled, then at the same time he should be able to fix himself up in spiritual position. Otherwise it is not possible. That is the point. Shani Shani Rubramel. In the beginning, when one tries to do that, there will be some difficulties, Krishna says. But later on, these things will come under control. Therefore, Shani Shani Rubramel, Buddhyadradi Grahidaya, Atma Samstam Manakritva Na Kinjit Abhichindayel. When one has totally got the control over his mind, he will be able to make the progress in the spiritual direction. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, after that, Krishna says in the verse number, in the sixth chapter, Krishna asked a question there, very interesting question. And that's the same question all of us ask all the time. What was that? Verse 34, Krishna says, Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadhi balaval dhradam, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayoriva sudushkaram. Krishna says, Chanjalam himana Krishna, this mind is, after hearing about the nature of the mind, Arjuna brought up this issue with Krishna, saying to him, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna, mind is most difficult thing to control. Pramadi valaval dhradam, this mind is the most difficult thing to control. Then, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayoriva sudushkaram. Therefore it is more difficult to control, just like air. Air cannot be controlled. Wherever there is a gap, it goes through that. Isn't it? So air has that nature. Similarly, Arjuna says, mind is also like that, very difficult to bring it under control. It was then that Krishna says, answers that. Krishna confirms, yes, asamshayam mahavaho, there is no doubt about that. Krishna says, mano durnigraham chalam, that mind is the most difficult thing to control. But, abhyasenadu kaundeya vairagyanaja grihyade, if one puts some effort into that by abhyasam, by practice, and vairagyam, from detachment, Krishna says, it is possible to do that. So, Arjuna's question and Krishna's answer. And then later on, in the 638 verse in the same chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna that 638 kachinno uvaya vibhrashtam chinnabhramyo nashyati aparishto mahabhaho vimodho brahmanapadi. What will happen to a person who has who has followed this process and he has lost in this world, and if he did not reach the destination, what will happen to him? That means he has lost his happiness in this world, nor he did not attain the spiritual happiness. He did not succeed in his spiritual life either. What will happen to such a person, to such a yogi? Answer to that, Krishna says in the verse 40, Krishna says, Partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyade nahi kalyanakal kaschil durgadim tadagachari. Krishna says to Arjuna that a person who has taken to the spiritual process, no matter which process it is, there is no loss at any time. Because nahi kalyanakal kaschil durgadim tadagachari. Krishna says kalyanakal kaschil. In other words, this yogi who has come to this process, Krishna says his activities are such that it is all very auspicious. Kalyanakal kaschil. Such a person cannot perish or cannot get himself, he will not fall down in that position anymore. He is only going to go high, not going to go down anymore. That is the point Krishna was making in that verses. Nahi kalyanakal kaschil durgadim tadagachari. Such a person has, do not go in the wrong way. He will always go higher in the spiritual life. After stressing all that point, Krishna goes into the 7th chapter. So after the this 6th chapter, what we have discussed, the mind meditation process, which is the process by which the mind and the senses has been controlled. Now Krishna is talking about jnana vijnana yogam. Jnana yoga means that knowledge by which jnanam, and by which Krishna says one who has the strong severe detachment and the capacity to practice abhyasam, and the mind will be peaceful enough to understand this knowledge. Therefore, that is the reason why the chapter has been titled as Jnana Vijnana Yogam. Krishna says in the 3rd verse, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tattvadam. Very important verse. Now, this verse Krishna is saying here, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye. Out of thousands and thousands of people, very, very few people are interested in the spiritual life. Isn't it? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye. And out of the very few who are interested, yadadam api siddhanam, only very few attain perfection. Kaschinmam veti tatvada. Because only a few of those don't get misled in the spiritual path and go in the right direction. This is a very important verse. Because generally people ask this question. If Bhagavad Gita is the answer to all the questions, why people are not interested in Bhagavad Gita or hearing Bhagavad Gita or studying Bhagavad Gita? Out of the billions and billions of people in this world, there is very, very few people who are seriously studying Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And who try to follow the path discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Normally, majority of the people, as Krishna said before, very few have interest in spiritual life because of the ignorance that has taken over, that they have identified themselves with the body, and due to attachment of the body, the whole life is spent in acquiring wealth and feeding and maintaining the body and the bodily extensions. This is what happens. Whole life is spent in maintaining the body and the bodily extensions, which means the family, society, friends, this, that and the other. So whatever it is, Krishna is saying here that this knowledge will always be like this. Because only when one who has come above this level of bodily understanding, only above the bodily level of understanding, only such people will be interested in hearing this Bhagavad Gita. Only such people will be interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita. And of those who come to hear, or those who take seriously the message of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here, yadadam api siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvada. Hardly anyone realize it properly. Why? Because during the process also, many people will get lost because they get distracted by different things. False things, they will accept it as spiritual life. And they will mix the spiritual life with material life. and they will try to find, settle themselves somewhere, and therefore they don't reach the destination. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. Now from this you can see the important point Krishna has said, that this science of Bhagavad Gita, which is actually a science, it should not be seen as a religion. It is, religion is something which is based on, many times it is based on rituals, and also certain kind of rituals to satisfy one's own mind or to get some peace of mind. One follows the religious process. Many organizations and in the human society you find many people take to that process, to some ritualistic process to satisfy themselves, and their spiritual needs are finished there. But when one understands Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here that yadada manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye, that those who are genuinely inquiring after me, genuinely inquiring the truth. Normally it's better to say that word rather than inquiring about Krishna. It is actually inquiring the truth. There are very few in this world who are inquiring the truth. So those who are inquiring the truth are very few. And among those who are inquiring the truth, many of them get distracted from that due to the false understanding they have developed due to wrong instructions given to them by somebody, or whatever false understanding they have acquired from this world. So that is the reason why we don't find many people to study Bhagavad Gita or to hear Bhagavad Gita. It is very clear that this reason, this will always be like that. It's not going to be different. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. So therefore, it is so important to understand that Krishna is saying here that this science of Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna has spoken, easily got lost in the process, as you have seen before. How did it get lost? Because that is the nature of the living entity. Then, later on, in the Krishna says here that in the 8th chapter, that is the most important thing what Krishna has discussed in the 7th chapter. In the 8th chapter, Krishna has talked about the what, kim dal brahmam kim adhyatmam. Arjuna asked this question. Arjuna asked a question. Kim tal brahmam kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adhivodan chengim proktam adhidevam kim uchade. A number of questions Arjuna asked. In answer to that, Krishna answered in the verse 3, chapter 8. Krishna says, Sri Bhagavan Vaja, aksharam brahma varamam sabhavo adhyatmam uchade bhuta bhavo adhavagaro visarga karma samyidaha. That it is in this chapter, Krishna talked about the letter Om, akshara brahma paramam. Krishna says, this letter Om represents the absolute truth. The truth is, Brahmam is represented by Om in the Vedic literature. And we have seen while discussing that chapter, how this letter Om is represented in the Vedas, and the importance of Om. We have seen that. And then we go into the 9th chapter. 9th chapter is known as Rajaguhyam. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam. That is the this word, this chapter, the king of knowledge. Krishna calls it as the king of knowledge. There we have seen, Krishna says in the beginning, idam tume guhyadamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana saidam yajnaktva mokshase shubhal. Krishna says there that one who is qualified to understand Bhagavad Gita, anasuyave, one who is free from envy, Krishna says. And what else is there? Idam tume guhyam. What is the nature of this? It is guhyadamam. It's very, very confidential. The knowledge is very confidential. And jnana vijnana sahidam. And the subject is jnana vijnana sahidam. It is the knowledge and the practical application of that in life. This is what Krishna has discussed. And the result is that what will be the benefit, prayojanam, or the benefit of all this will be yajnaktva mokshase shubhal. One gets released from material existence. That is the point Krishna was making there. So then after the 9th chapter, if you look into the verse 6 in the 9th chapter, Krishna gives a very interesting comparison there. What does he say? Yathakashastito nityam vayu sarvatrago mahan tatha sarvani bhudani malstani upadharayam. Krishna says that the yathakashastito nityam vayu sarvatrago mahan. Just like the air is all pervading, air is present everywhere in the sky. Therefore, Krishna is also present in all the living entities. In everything what we see, perceive in this world, whether living entities or dead matter, Krishna is still present in everything. That is what one has to come to understand from this. That everything is dependent on Krishna. The matter is also dependent on Krishna. Because after all, in the process of creation, if you remember, we have seen that from Mahatattvam, Maya, from Maya Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam to Ahamdattvam, and then from the three modes of material nature, how the creation developed. And in that process, all that matter, what we see in this world, has also come from Krishna. So ultimately, everything is dependent on Krishna. But Krishna is not dependent on any of these things. That is the relationship. That is why Krishna is saying here, Yatha Akasha Sthito Nityam Vayu Sarvatra Gomahan. Just like air goes everywhere and occupies everything. Similarly, Tatha Sarvani Bhudani, in all living entities and everything, Malsani Ubhadarya, see me there, present in everything. But at the same time, not affected by anything, what goes on inside this creation. Krishna is not affected by that. This is also another example given here is that although only in Krishna's presence everything happens in this world. Only due to Krishna's presence it's happening. But at the same time, Krishna is not neither the doer nor the enjoyer of anything. He is neither the doer nor the enjoyer of anything. So one who understands this point, what Krishna has made here, that everything in this creation is happening only due to the Krishna's presence here. That means the pervading spirit is Krishna. And due to his presence, everything happening. Just like he says, like the sun in the sky. All activities goes on in this world in the presence of the sun. But sun has nothing to do with it, any of that. What we do and what we don't do, it is immaterial. Sun rises and disappears in the evening, goes away from this world. So all these things Krishna is pointing out to us, that that this is the same role what Krishna has in this creation. Then after that, in the that 9:10, Krishna says, Mayadya Kshana Prakriti Suyadesa Characharam Hedunanena Kaundaya Jagadvi Parivartade. Krishna's declarations are very interesting. Here Krishna says, Mayadhyakshana Prakriti Suyadesa Characharam. Everything that moving and unmoving, charam and acharam, all the living entities in this world is able to do all these things because of I am present there. That is why it's happening. Vayadhyakshana prakriti suyadesa characharam hedunanena kaundaya jagadvi parivartade. That although material nature is creating, that all everything what's happening under the laws of material nature, but this very material nature is also working under Krishna's direction. Under Krishna's direction. That is the point what Krishna is making there. And in the very next verse, Krishna is saying here, what does Krishna say? That Avajanandi Mamudha Manushim Tanumashradam Parambhavam Ajanando Mamabhuda Maheshwaram. Krishna says, most of the people do not understand this. That it is me, and this is a very difficult thing for most of the people to accept it also, that it is Krishna who is running this world, who is running this show. Avajanandi Mamudha Manushim Tanumashridam. Krishna says, they see me and think about me, that I am one like them, those who are thinking like that about Krishna. Because people think Krishna has also got two hands like I have two hands. Krishna has got two legs like I have two legs, so where is the difference? Maybe Krishna is a little bit more powerful than me. But Krishna is trying to tell us that such a person, Krishna calls him as Mudha. Avajanandi Ma Mudha. Why? He thinks that Manushim Dhanimashridam. Because he is thinking, I am one like them. Why? Parambhavam Ajanando. He does not know my Parambhavam, my real nature, Mama Bhuda Maheshwaram. That I am the person who lives in everything, moving or unmoving, and everything has come from me. This one factor Krishna is stressing here again and again, in order that this is what understanding Krishna means. And when we say, Prabhupada used to say, try to understand Krishna. How to understand Krishna? Through these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is telling us how to understand Krishna. When we see Krishna in this way, later on we will come to that in the 18th chapter. What is knowledge? When knowledge is discussed, Krishna says knowledge is also in the three modes of nature. Knowledge in the mode of goodness, knowledge in the mode of passion, and knowledge in the mode of ignorance. And there he will discuss again what is proper way of understanding Krishna. When one does not see these things, simply seeing Krishna in the deity and to think that this is all Krishna is, that is the mode of ignorance. Krishna calls it as the mode of ignorance, to see Krishna only in the deity. But the mode of goodness, when one understands Krishna, this is where this understanding comes, how to understand Krishna. Then, in the next 17, 18 and 19, three verses in the 9th chapter, Krishna has spoken something very important. In order for us to connect with Krishna, in order that for us to understand Krishna, we have discussed these verses earlier. Pidamahasya jagado madhadhada pidamaha vedyam pavitramangaram mukhsame yajurevaja gadar bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhral prabhav pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam tabamyaham aham varsham nigranami ulsrayami ja amrutam jaya murticha sadasachaham arjuna. Krishna says there that in all these things, it is me who is actually the father, the mother. Pidamahasya jagado, the father of this creation, the mother of this creation, vedyam pavitram onkaram hrik samam yajurevaja. Vedas are me, rigvedam, yajurvedam, samavedam, they are all me, Krishna says. And onkaram, the pavitram onkaram, that onkaram, the onkaram sound vibration is also Krishna, yajurevaja. Why all these Vedas are considered to be Krishna? Because through these Vedic literature, through Vedas, one can understand Krishna. That is why it is said like that. That in order to know Krishna and in order to take Krishna shelter, one requires the help of Vedas and Vedic literature. Otherwise it's not possible. Only through Vedic literature one can know Krishna. That is why Krishna is saying here, they are me. That you should see them. In through them you can understand me. And similarly, Gadarbhartha Prabhu Sakshi, Krishna says, I am the Prabhu Sakshi. Nivasam, Sharanam, Suhul, Prabhava, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam, Bijamavyayam, everything. Krishna says, it's me. In other words, in all these things, when one understands that it is Krishna is the basis, then he understands Krishna. And also in the last verse, Krishna said that these summertime, heat, cold, happiness, distress, everything is coming from Krishna. We have discussed all these things when we were discussing that chapter. Just to remind you again. And then we go into the 26th verse. That is an important verse in the same chapter. Patram pushpam phalam doyam yome bhaktya prayachari tadaham bhakti bahadam asnami prayadalmana. This is an important verse. It appears in the Bhagavadam also. It's important. Why? Because in worshipping Krishna, Krishna has mentioned patram pushpam phalam doyam, only very, very simple things. Leaf, water, flower. Such things are sufficient to worship Krishna. Krishna says like this. The reason for mentioning this is that when you worship the demigods, many other demigods, there are certain rules and regulations which apply. There are certain rules and regulations which apply. But when it comes to Krishna, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna says no such rules apply. That even such simple things, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, these kinds of things are sufficient to please Krishna. In other words, what Krishna is concerned about is the devotion of the person who offers the different things to Krishna. If he is a devotee, Krishna accepts it. Otherwise, it is not acceptable. So therefore, in other words, in order to stress that point, Krishna says, what matters to me is not what you offer, but in what mood it has been offered to me. In order to stress that point, Krishna has brought this here. In other words, there is also another thing to that. That the then even little things, even though you may execute the process of worship of the demigods with much more expensive processes, still they have limitations on what they can offer to you. Because their hands are also tied. In the Bhagavadam, there is an interesting story about that. This great personality, Muchukunda, who was the son of Mandhana, He went to help Indra in the battle. At that time, Indra was actually having difficulties with the demons in the heavenly planets. So Indra asked for help from Muchukunda, and Muchukunda went to heavenly planet to help Indra. into heavenly planets to help Indra. So during that process, after after a long period of time, when the battle was over, Kartikeya took over the commandership of the demigods' army. And Indra relieved Muchukunda from that position. Indra relieved Muchukunda from there. So while leaving, Indra asked Muchukunda, what kind of benediction do you want? What kind of benediction do you want for the service what you have rendered to me? Now Indra is the most prominent of the demigods, isn't it? So at that time, when Indra made this offer to Muchukunda, Muchukunda says to him, when can I have my liberation? He says to Indra. Indra at that time says to him that we don't have the capacity to offer that to you. Indra openly says this to Muchukunda. And at that time Muchukunda realized that the demigods also have certain restrictions or limitations. Their capacities are also limited. So it was at that time eventually Muchukunda accepted, all right, after I have spent so long time here, at least let me go and sleep peacefully somewhere. If you can offer me, that's not some kind of help. And that is what Indra blessed him with, that that benediction, that he can come down to the Earthly planet and sleep peacefully for a long period of time to rest from the fatigue what he has developed during the battle. So they are also limited. Demigods are also limited. And some demigods will say, I can only offer you one boon. Don't ask me anything more than that. Some of them even say that I have my own limitations. So, but Krishna is concerned. There is no such thing. Krishna's capacity is unlimited. What Krishna knows, that what is the best for the devotee. That is why he is saying here that even this no such rules applies to Krishna. Therefore, one who has surrendered to Krishna and is placing Krishna by his devotional process, Krishna consciousness, such a person is automatically becomes the object of Krishna's mercy. Then Krishna says, Yal Karoshi Yadasnasi, in the next verse, Yajuhoshi Dadasi Yal Yatavasasi Gaundeya Talkurusha Madarpanam. We have seen all that. And in the next chapter, Krishna says in the 10th chapter, verse 20. What does Krishna say in the 20? Verse 20, Krishna says, that Ahamalma Gunakesha Sarva Bhuda Shastida Ahamanisha Madhyanja Bhudana Mandameja. This chapter, this 10th chapter, is nothing but Krishna's opulences, Vibhudi. Vibhudi Yogam it is called. This chapter is called Vibhudi Yogam because in this chapter there are process of knowing Krishna. That is what is discussed here. How to know Krishna, how to understand Krishna. In three stages this happens. This happens in three stages. In Bhagavatam also it is discussed much more in detail in Vibhuti Yogam. That three stages, first to understand that in everything in this world, wherever when one sees something extraordinary, one should know that that is coming from Krishna. Yad yad vibhudimal sattvam srimadurjitame vava tattadeva augachattvam amadejamsha sambhavam. Krishna says, whenever and wherever, when one sees something extraordinary, a sparkle of brilliance, that brilliance, when you see that, one has to know that it is coming from Krishna. That is the first step in the process of realizations. Because so far, Krishna has spoken about this one thing, how to see Krishna in everything. That is the ultimate goal, how to see the presence of Krishna in every living entity. That is the Paramahamsa stage. When one sees in every living entity, it is Krishna who is present in everything. That is that realization. But in order to get there, the first step in that direction is to see wherever when one sees something extraordinary, Krishna says, you have to take it that you should see Krishna's presence in that person. That is the first step. Secondly, Krishna says, after practicing this for some time, when one has come to the understanding that he is able to recognize Krishna's presence in all other great personalities. That is why in the Bhagavatam you will notice, here also Krishna will say that among all the mountains I am Himalaya, among all the birds I am Garuda, among all the sages I am Srinarada Maharshi. Like this, so many places Krishna will bring different personalities to show that all their capacity, all their brilliance is coming from me, from Krishna. Then once that is recognized, then in the second stage when one goes to, He has to see that wherever when one sees that, so everything, every living entity has been given something, what Krishna has given a special potency to every living entity in something or the other, which when one closely observes, you will see that there is something in everyone which is very special, that has come from Krishna. In the birds, in the elephant, in the bees, in lion, tiger, even in the human society, in every living entity, you will find there is something which is present from, which has come from Krishna, which is something special with that person. So when one sees like this stage by stage, he will go further and he can see that all living entities also are part and parcel of Krishna. And it is Krishna's different potencies that is manifesting through that person. And eventually, when one has started seeing like that, one will realize that everything else is nothing but Krishna. His presence of Krishna is experienced in everything, finally. That is the final stage. So here, in this particular verse in 20, Krishna says, Aham alpa gudakesha sarvabhuta shayasthida aham adyascha madhyancha bhudana mandamevacha. Krishna says, Aham adyascha madhyancha bhudana mandamevacha. In the beginning, it's only me who exist. And in the end also, it's only me who exist. Isn't it? If you remember, in the Bhagavatam we discussed this. In the Chalishlogi, it begins like that. Aham adischa madhyancha bhudana mandamevacha. Similarly, because only Krishna exists in the beginning, and only because Krishna exists in the end, in the middle also only Krishna exists. That is the logic behind it. Aham adischa madhyancha bhudana mandamevacha. So through this verse you can see Aham alpa gudakesha sarvabhudashayasthidaha aham adyascha madhyancha bhudanam andamevacham, that in all the living entities, in other words, in all living entities, that spark inside, spiritual spark within that living entity is coming from Krishna. When that understanding comes, he can see that this vibhuti yogam is complete. He has realized the vibhutis of Krishna or the opulences of Krishna. And after that, we have talked about the 11th chapter. We have seen how important that 11th chapter is. And at the end of 11th chapter, what did Krishna say? Krishna says, Bhaktyatu nanyaya shakya aham evam vidharjuna jnadam drashtam jadatvena pravishtanja parantava. Krishna says to Arjuna, you can see me as you have seen today, only through devotion, only through bhakti. So, importance of bhakti, Krishna has stressed again. And the concluding chapter, he is going to say that again in the next chapter. But here, Krishna spoke again, stressing the same point. Bhaktyato anyaya shakya. Without bhakti, Krishna says, you will not see me as you have seen me. In other words, this Vishwarupa darshanam, or in other words, the universal form of Krishna, can only be seen by a devotee. It is not seen by jnani, it's not by seen by yogi or a karmi. Nobody can see that form unless he is a devotee. That is the speciality of that chapter. That one sees Krishna as you have seen me, he says to Arjuna, as you have seen me today, you can see me because you are a devotee. And without being a devotee, bhaktyatana nyaya shakya aham evam vidarjuna jnadam drashtam, you cannot be able to know me, nor you will be able to see me, Krishna says, praveshtanja parandava, or you can enter into me. In other words, then mal karma gada mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjidaha nirvaira sarva maudeshu yasamamedi pandava. Krishna says to Arjuna that mal karma gada mal parama, do everything for me and fully become Krishna conscious. In other words, becoming Krishna conscious, that is the way to achieve Krishna, to reach Krishna. Mal bhakta sangavarjidaha, that you become my devotee and give up the attachment to the material world. Nurvaira sarva bhudeshu, and when one moves in this world in that way, yasama amedi pandava, he become my person, my devotee. He become, in other words, he come to me as my, he is my devotee at that point. So you can see that Bhagavad Gita is giving us the process how one could ultimately reach Krishna. And then in the next chapter, in the 12th chapter, Krishna talked about when Arjuna was told that only a devotee can reach that point, Arjuna wanted to know who is a devotee. Isn't it? Naturally, who is a devotee? Everybody thinks we are all devotees, but what we are, only Krishna knows. So Krishna is saying here, when Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, that let me understand who is a devotee.
And there Krishna gives one explanation to that in the 12th chapter. If you look into the verses, you will see there, verse number 18 and 19. If you see 18 and 19, the characteristics of a devotee.
Samashatrau jamitreja tadhamana vamanayo shidoshna sukadukesho samasanga vivarjidaha tulyaninda sudharmavni sandushto yena kenajil aniketa sthiramanir bhaktimanme priyo naraha.
Krishna says this is a devotee.
Samashatrau jamitreja tadhamana vamanayo shidoshna sukadukesho samasanga vivarjidaha tulyaninda sudharmavni sandushto yena kenajil aniketa sthiramanir bhaktimanme priyo naraha.
So a devotee is a person when he has these qualities. This is what Krishna is looking into a devotee. Just by putting tilak and wearing a dhoti, one doesn't become devotee. One becomes a devotee when these qualities are there in a person. That's what Krishna is saying here. That, and afterwards, in the next chapter, we will go into the 13th chapter. That is basically the 12th chapter is all about bhakti yoga, the process of bhakti. And the best process of defining what is bhakti, Krishna has done that. And in the 13th chapter, we have seen two important things. What is that? Kshetram and Kshetrajnam. That is what, from now on, Jnana Yogam starts. Kshetram and Kshetrajnam. We discuss that in that chapter. Idam Shariram Kaundeya, Kshetram Ityabhidiyade. Etatyo Vetidam Rahu, Kshetrajnam Edidadvida, Krishna says. So, Shariram, the material body, is the Kshetram. And Kshetrajnya, Krishna is present there. And we, the part and parcel of Krishna, is the Kshetrajnam. So, as I mentioned before, when we discussed that chapter, that in Vyashti and Samashti, in two levels we have to see that. In the Vyashti form, that is within the soul material body, every living entity, the whole thing is present there. What is present in Samashti? Samashti means what is present in the gross form, that is in the whole creation. The same things are present in the Vyashti form, in the miniature form of ours. Every living entity, same material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. Then the same senses, the mind, intelligence, all these things are present in the living entity as much as it is present in the whole creation. So that's what we discussed in the 13th chapter. And then we moved on to the 14th chapter where we spoke about the 11th chapter, 11th verse. Then Krishna says an important thing there in the 11th verse. What did Krishna say? Krishna says there,
Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade jnanam yada tada vidvi vidya vrdham sattvamityudam.
Krishna says, Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade. When the mode of goodness is built up in a person to such a degree, because this chapter is titled as the three modes, isn't it?
Gunatraya vibhaga yogam. So it's the three modes of material nature.
So that's why, while discussing this, Krishna is saying there, that sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade. When in all locations in the body, the mind, the senses, the intelligence, everything, when mode of goodness is acting, automatically he is in knowledge. He is in knowledge. Jnanam yada tada vidhi. And that is the, that will naturally makes that person's understanding and knowledge very illuminating. And in the next verse, Krishna says here, in the next chapter, so this whole chapter, Krishna is devoted to discuss about the three modes of material nature. And in the next chapter, 15th verse, 15th chapter, Krishna is talking about the divine and the demoniac nature. Divine and the demoniac nature. Sorry. After discussing, sorry, in the 15th chapter, Krishna is calls it as Purushottama Yoga. Purushottama Yoga means the yoga of the Supreme Person. A personality who has, what is the process? Indeed, it is in this chapter, Krishna says, this is a very confidential. That is how Krishna talks about this chapter, the yoga of the Supreme Person. Because it is in this chapter, Krishna talked about this Ashwatha tree, isn't it? The Udhavmulam Asashaka Ashwatham Prahuravyayam. That this particular tree, Krishna discusses about a tree there. What's the kind of tree? It's an Ashwatha tree, a banyan tree. This tree has got its roots upwards and the branches downwards. We have seen that. What that means, what the root means, what the branches means, and how one should cut the branches of this tree and release oneself from the from this tree. Or in other words, the whole material existence was brought in the form of a tree by Krishna, and he discussed everything in relationship with that. And there you will see that in the verse number one itself, Urdhamulam Atha Shaka, Ashwatham Prahuravyayam, Chandam Seyasya Varnani, Yastum Vedasa Vedavil. Krishna says, once who understands this tree, what is known as the Ashwatha tree, he understands things properly. And then after that, in the 16th chapter, Krishna talked about the what is known as the the three modes of material nature. Devasara Sambhad Vibhaga Yogam. In that chapter, first Krishna spoke about the 26 qualities of a devotee, which is referring to the devotional qualities, or in other words, devotee's nature. But majority of the chapter, Krishna is devoted for discussing the demoniac nature. The 26 qualities were discussed in the few verses, and after that, the whole of the remaining chapter, Krishna has talked about the demoniac nature. And so that we can understand what demoniac nature means. As I mentioned before, our thinking is that we are all devotees, and we only identify with the 26 qualities. We don't even think about the hundreds of other qualities, what comes after that, because we have already put ourselves in the first 26. But what Krishna is saying here, that if you study the remaining hundreds of qualities, what Krishna has spoken in the remaining chapter, you will start wondering whether we should identify with the first part or with the second part. And it will look more appropriate that the second part looks more identical with us. And that is why it is like that. That it is not so simple as we think, that the devotee's position, as Krishna says there, is hardly experienced by many people, and they find very, very difficult also. Very, very difficult also. And even after coming to the devotional path, sometimes the demonic propensities take over. Sometimes the demonic propensities take over. And that is why one has to be very careful. So there, in this 16th chapter, in three verses if you look, Krishna has beautifully presented 13, 14 and 15 verses. In there, Krishna says, Imam Adhyam Ayalabdham, Imam Vapsiye Manoratham, Idastitam Avide Bhavishyati Punardhanam. And Aso Mayaha Shatru, Hanishe Chabaranabi, Ishiroham Hambhogi, Siddoham Dhalavan Sukhi, Adhyobi Janavanasmi, Konyosti Sadrashomaya, Yekshe Dasyami Modisha, Ityajnana Vimohidaha. Krishna says, a person who has a demoniac nature, he is of these qualities. What is it? Aso Maya Hala Shatru Hanishe Chavaranabi. Today I have killed one of my enemy. Tomorrow I will finish up the other one. And then Ishiroham Ahambhogi Siddhoham Bhalavan Sukhi. I am the controller. I decide. I manage things. I know what I have to do. And what I do is more important. Ishiroham Aham. I am the Ishwara. Ahambhogi. I am also the enjoyer. Siddhoham. And I am perfect in everything what I am doing. Bhalavan Sukhi. I am powerful. And also I am enjoying life. Then, Adhyobi Janamanasmi, Adhyobi, I am Adhyan. Adhyan means, I am very special. In the among the ordinary people also, I am a very special person. Konyosya Sadrashomaya, who is equal to me? Why? Because, Yakshen Dasyami Modisha Ityajnana Vimohidaha. That he is thinking like this, always puts himself in a higher position, and expects others to worship him in that position. Puts himself on a higher pedestal. And he thinks that everyone should worship me. These are all demoniac nature. Krishna says, Adhyobi Janavanasmi, Konyosti Sadrishomaya. Who else is in this world similar to me? I must be definitely be worshipable. So I should be worshipped all the time. And they will, without any, they expect that worship, either in a subtle way or in a gross level. This is all these things going on. These are all, Krishna says, is demoniac nature. These are all coming from the demoniac nature. And with these three verses, we see that in the 16th chapter, Krishna talked about the demoniac nature. And then in the last chapter, we have seen in the 17th chapter, when we discussed, Krishna talked about everything and says, gave the title as Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Why is it called Shraddhatrayam? Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam means that Krishna says, everything what one does in this world is based on his Shraddha. Based on his Shraddha. If the Shraddha is proper, is in the right place, if the Shraddha is in the right place, his activities also will be proper. But if Shraddha is in the wrong place, all his activities are also going to be like that. And therefore, in this particular chapter, in the 17th chapter, we are seeing that everything under the modes of nature, even the Shraddha also, is goodness, passion and ignorance. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas control Shraddha also. So if Shraddha in Sattvagunam, Shraddha in Rajogunam, Shraddha in Tamogunam also acts in three different levels. So that is the point what Krishna was making there. So from all these things you can see that Krishna talks about Shraddha, Sattvic Adhyatmika Shraddha, Karma Shraddha to Rajasi. Krishna says one who is, whose Shraddha is in Sattvagunam, his Shraddha will be in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, not in anything else. All other Shraddha is coming from Rajasam. Even after coming to spiritual life, if his Shraddha is in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, then Sattvic Adhyatmika Shraddha, then his Shraddha is Adhyatmikam. The Adhyatma means what? Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam is Adhyatmam. There is nothing else. Otherwise, so many other fulfilling different material desires in spiritual life is also happens. And that is Karma Shraddha to Rajasi. That is coming from Rajogunam, Krishna says. So, Tamas Adharmika Shraddha, Tamogunam, when that predominates, his Shraddha will be Adharmam, irreligious activities. It will be nothing to do with spiritual life. Tamas Adhyatmika Shraddha, then what Krishna says, Malsevayam to Nirgunam, that when it comes to Malsevaya, saving Krishna, it is about the three modes of material nature. Malsevayam to Nirgunam. So, because of all these things, why what Krishna has spoken, one can easily understand that Krishna consciousness is above the three modes of material nature. Under no circumstances, Krishna consciousness will be affected by anything. It cannot be touched because Malsevayam to Nirgunam. Krishna says it is above the three modes of nature. Often you find sometimes some devotees come up with this understanding that we are going through difficulties in ISKCON because the planets are not favorable for us. This kind of understanding people have got, that they are saying that because at the moment we are going through a difficult period in Krishna consciousness, it will change later when the planets get in a better situation. Because some astrologers have calculated and said that it is because of the planetary position that the difficulties are coming. Actually, it is not a very sensible statement. Because if you look at it from the point of view of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying here very clearly, Malsevayam to Nirgunam, anything that is done for Krishna properly, in the proper understanding from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, that no planets can touch that. Planets has nothing to do with it. It is Nirgunam. It is about the three modes of material nature. Often going to astrologer and checking out what has happened, why it's like this. All kinds of anarthas we have developed ourselves, not studying Bhagavad Gita first thing, not studying Srimad Bhagavatam second thing. Without studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, we have concocted so many things of our own. And when things start going wrong, we blame the planets for that. This is what's going on. And very often, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned this, that Krishna consciousness is transcendental thing. It cannot be touched by anything. It is Malsevayam to Nirgunam, Krishna says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That Sattvic Adhyatmika Shraddha, Karma Shraddha to Rajasi, Tamas Adharmika Shraddha, Malsevayam to Nirgunam. That Krishna consciousness is Nirgunam. It is beyond the three modes of material nature. So where is the question of planets influencing the Krishna consciousness? It cannot. If ever anything is going wrong, it's only due to the not understanding Krishna's instructions and acting whimsically on our own, for which planets cannot help us either. So these are the things in the 17th chapter where when we discuss this Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yogam, if Shraddha is in Krishna consciousness, then things cannot go wrong. That's the point. So after discussing the 17th chapter, by now, more or less through the 17th chapter, whatever Krishna has to say, Krishna has finished there. Whatever he wanted to say to Arjuna, he has finished there. In other words, a great topic of spiritual science, through these 17 chapters, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. Now, in the last chapter, which we are going to now start discussing, is called Moksha Sanyasa Yogam. Moksham and Sanyasam, two things there. Moksha Sanyasam is called, because the ultimate thing what everybody is looking for is liberation, isn't it? Ultimate thing what everyone is looking for is liberation from material existence. But if you tell somebody that, are you looking for liberation? He will say, no, I am not looking for liberation. Because the word liberation itself is misunderstood. Very much misunderstood. Generally, one thing everybody will agree, all of us are looking for happiness in this world. All of us are looking for happiness in this world. But because we have no understanding of what is happiness, sometimes we misunderstand happiness in terms of sense gratification as happiness. Or some happiness what we have concocted ourselves. But anything that is called as happiness, which gives distress later on, or any happiness that is associated with distress, is not considered to be happiness, proper happiness from the Shastri point of view. From Shastri point of view, none of them is considered to be happiness. They are all on a level in the material life what we experience happiness and distress temporarily. That is not the kind of happiness what Krishna is talking about. In this chapter, Krishna is going to talk about that happiness which is beyond the three modes of nature. And that happiness which is above the three modes of nature is what is called liberation. Liberation from the three modes of nature. When one is released from the three modes of material nature, then he experiences that happiness, and that is called moksha. Only thing is, everybody is looking for happiness, but because it's misunderstood by everyone, that they think that the happiness what they are talking about is not the happiness that they find discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's happiness is that happiness which comes from after release from the three modes of nature, which is addressed as liberation here. And in order to reach that point, Krishna says here that whatever one required to know about spiritual life, Krishna has spoken already. Till now, he has spoken enough. One who has understood it properly, there is enough injunctions or enough instructions so far here to guide him in the right direction. But after finishing that, the final stage of getting bowing back to the liberated state, and that is what is known as sannyasam. What is known as sannyasam. So you can see here, the sannyasa stage is the final stage through one moves on to the liberated state. One moves into the liberated state. Therefore the importance of sannyasam. Therefore the importance of sannyasam. Now, when I mention this word sannyasam, automatically in your mind a picture will be coming. Saffron dhoti, saffron shirt, danda in the hand, and everyone paying obeisances and given respects. That is not what Krishna is talking about here. You will not find in this chapter anywhere Krishna discussing about sannyasi's dress. Krishna is only talking about who is a sannyasi. That is what you have to notice here. And very interesting here is, when Krishna talks to Arjuna and when Krishna talks to Uddhava, it is the same process what he has followed. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about sannyasam in this chapter, you will not find anywhere any reference to his clothes, his dress, his body, or how he looks, appears. Nothing is discussed. All what is discussed is his consciousness. From there you can see what is sannyasa means. Sannyasa means that consciousness. And when that consciousness is there, Krishna says he is a sannyasi. When it came to Uddhava also, Krishna's instructions were exactly the same. Instead of saying to Arjuna Uddhava that be a sannyasi, what did Krishna says to him? Tundu sarvam bhari tejya sneham svajane bandusho maya aveshyamano yasmin maya aveshyamano yasmin samadrak vijaraswagam. That verse, tundu sarvam bhari tejya, give up everything. Tundu sarvam bhari tejya, what? Sneham svajane bandusho, your attachment to family, friends, society, everything. Then, samam, sandhu sarvam varitya sneham svajane bandusho maya avesha mana samyak. Attach your mind to me and fix your mind in me. Samadrag, and see in every living entity my presence. Vijaraswagam, and walk in this world without being disturbed by anything. This is how the whole of 11th canto, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna put it in one verse to Uddhava. Now when you hear this verse, immediate question comes from Uddhava. Are you not talking about sannyasam? This is what Uddhava asked Arjuna. So you can see, whether it was Arjuna or Uddhava, Krishna had only one thing to say, that consciousness of a sannyasi. And that is what is discussed in this chapter. While talking to Uddhava, after speaking that verse, It took another 26 chapters for Krishna to discuss that consciousness of a sannyasi. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu maya aveshyamana samyak samadrak vicharasvagam. So in order to become a sannyasi and to develop that consciousness, what is required, that is what is discussed in this chapter. So here you will notice there that even though one may have all kinds of knowledge from the Shastram, he may have understood many things from the Shastram, and also he may be executing his sadhana or anushtanam or upasana properly in his daily life. There is one thing Krishna mentions here, what is known as, Krishna says, if you do not have the agam and vairagyam, these two things, how essential it is. That is how he begins this chapter. Without tyagam and without vairagyam, in other words, without able to sacrifice things and without being detached from the world, one cannot make progress in the spiritual path. Even though he may have studied all the scriptures and he may have performed his daily quota of chanting the holy name or studying the Bhagavatam or anything, unless these qualities, what Krishna says, tyagam and vairagyam is not there, he is not going to go very far easily. So, first thing Krishna says, in order to free oneself from material existence, very intense desire has to build up inside. And when the intense desire builds up, Krishna says automatically renunciation will come to such a person. The extreme renunciation will develop in a person. Because so long as we are anchored to the material happiness, so long as our attachment to material world exists, the progress in the spiritual path will not happen. Progress in the spiritual path will not happen. And therefore Krishna says that by continuously studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets very fixed up. That's what happened. We get fixed up in spiritual life. Vastu Bhodam it is called. Vastu Bhodam. That means I am spirit soul. I have nothing to do with the matter. This bodily identification has to leave me at some point. It cannot go on continuously with me. As long as it exists, it is an impediment for me. So, one way or the other, one has to free oneself from this bodily attachment. So, in order to do that, Krishna says, the only way you can do that is by fixing one's mind in the spiritual platform. Vastu Bhodam it is called. And therefore, Krishna has spoken all these 17 chapters to enlighten us in that way. And with the result of that, even one develops detachment from this world, the person's nature will also develop to perform sacrifice for others. Otherwise, our selfish desires, our selfish interests alone will be there in this world. Only my happiness, my family's happiness, and my community's happiness, and my society's happiness, these kind of extensions will come. So, in this chapter, Krishna is saying here, what should be the outlook of a person like that? How it should be, how important it is that in order for that person, even if he has studied all the 17 chapters and understood, even if he has not come to this platform and understanding in this 18th chapter, Krishna is going to summarize the whole Bhagavad Gita once again. That's what he is doing in this 18th chapter. That's why Prabhupada has given the title of this chapter, conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Isn't it? The perfection of renunciation. That's the title of the chapter. And in the in the Bhagavad Gita it's called as Moksha Sanyasa Yogam. Why is it called like that? Because of this reason. That even though you may have theoretically understood, got all the degrees or certificates or whatever you have, unless these qualities, Krishna says here, is not developed in a person, that means Tyagam and Vairagyam, the mood to give up things and to develop that detachment from the material life, Krishna says it will not go far. That the Vastu Bhodam or the understanding of the realization won't develop in such a person. So Arjuna asked this question in the beginning. And with sannyasam, this is what is going to be achieved. So Arjuna's question was, sannyasasya mahabaho tattva michami vedidam. Tyagasya Krishigesha Pradakeshi Nishodana. Arjuna says, Arjuna heard all these 17 chapters. Arjuna's confusion comes in a different level. In different instances before, two things were spoken. Krishna has spoken about two things. What are they? One is sannyasam and one is tyagam. What is the difference between sannyasam and tyagam? This was Arjuna's question. Sannyasasya mahabahum tatvam ichami vedinam. I want to know the tatvam, the principle behind sannyasam and also behind tyagam. And let us look back previously where this was discussed. If you look at verse chapter 12, verse 6, Krishna spoke about this very briefly, about these things. If chapter 12, verse 6, what does Krishna say to him? Krishna says that Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasyam alpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasadeyam. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasyam alpara. So there Krishna says, when you give up all the activities, my sanyasya malpara, for my sake, all other material activities and surrender unto me, Krishna says, ananyeva yogena mam dhyayantu upasade. He is worshipping me, Krishna says in the highest yoga. He spoke about that at that time. Again, if you look in the fourth chapter, verse 41, what does Krishna say there in the fourth chapter, verse 41? Also Krishna says there, that yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam alpavandam na karmani nibandhanandi dhananjayam. That through yogam one should conquer karmam, and through knowledge one should clear all his doubt, and one who has come to that platform, he will not be affected by any karma. Krishna says like that. And in the 12th chapter, again in verse 11, Krishna also spoke about once again these things. Krishna says there, that adhaidala prashaktosi kartumad yogamashrita sarvadharma bhalatyagam tadakuru yadalpavan. Krishna says importance of tyagam, sarvakarma bhalatyagam, giving up the results of all one's activities. That was also discussed in that chapter. So after discussing this, it is then that Arjuna has asked this question. What was the question? Arjuna got confused. In some places Krishna talked about tyagam. In another places, Krishna talked about sannyasam, isn't it? Some places, Krishna used the word sannyasam, and other places, Krishna has used the word tyagam. So here, the question will come, what is the difference between sannyasam and tyagam? Strictly speaking, there is no difference. Strictly speaking, there is no difference. Therefore, if you see Krishna's reply, how Krishna answers that, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu sarvakarma bhalatyagam prahustyagam vijakshanah. Krishna says kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam. Kamyanam karmanam means fruitive activities. Kamyanam karmanam means fruitive activities. When one give up fruitive activities, when one gives up fruitive activities, Krishna says, people who are in knowledge, they call it as sannyasam. Such people, in such situations, kamyanam karmanyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. Krishna says that is called sannyasam. And then what else? Sarva karma bhalatyagam prahustyagam vichakshanaha. When one gives up the results of all one's activities, sarva karma bhalatyagam prahustyagam vichakshana. That is called tyagam. Krishna says like that. So, what is the difference? Earlier, when we talked about sannyasam, we have mentioned this also. In sannyasam, there are two things, very important things. What are they? First thing is that sannyasi does not take any ownership of his work. He takes any ownership of his work. This you will see in the Bhagavatam, all these things are very well explained. If only thing you have to sit and start, look at it. If you remember, when Srinarada Maharshi was a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, a group of sages arrived there. A group of sages arrived there for Chaturmasyam. They were sannyasis. They were performing Chaturmasyam. So, after the Chaturmasyam time, Srinarada Maharshi had his association with these great sages, isn't it? He had the association with the great sages. So, while Srinarada Muni spent the time with the sages, he understood what is Krishna consciousness, isn't it? We have talked about this in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, that how Sri Narada Maharshi was affected by the association with those great sannyasis who were present there. So these sannyasis came, they spent 4 months there, and Sri Narada Maharshi had the opportunity to hear about Krishna from them. He heard about Krishna from them. The result was that Sri Narada Maharshi got attached to Krishna. And after 4 months of association, the sannyasis were leaving. Sri Narada Maharshi was feeling a great unhappiness in his mind that who will talk to me about Krishna in the future? This is the question he raised at that point. At that time, the sannyasis were saying to Narada Muni, he was not become Narada yet. He was the son of that servant maid who was working for that wealthy landlord or brahmana who was running that, who was given the accommodation for the sannyasis. So he hasn't become Sri Narada Maharshi yet. He is still a young boy, 5 years old. But somehow or the other, he got attached to Krishna. That was the success of the sages association, due to the association of the sages. But at the time of leaving the sages, Sri Narada Maharshi was in great anxiety. What's going to happen to me now? So that time, the sages told him, you have heard everything what we have got to say, isn't it? Remember that and continue thinking about it. That's enough. And they left. Never you will see the sages saying, oh, we made you a devotee. Have you seen them saying this any time? We made him a devotee. No. They didn't take any ownership of that. Not only that, while leaving, you will see that they did not even ask each other when they will meet again. Even that question didn't happen. Even that question didn't rise. Imagine we meet somebody like that. What we will do? Can you give me your telephone number and address first? I'll call you later when I'm a bit free. Can I contact you later? This is how we are. That is not association. This is the nature of the sannyasis. When sannyasis are when we contact into great sages or great personalities like that, that is how they see it. That they have done their part, what they have to do, and they have moved on from there. They are not concerned about what the result will be or how it is going to develop. Just by the very association, Sri Narada Maharshi got benefited, and that turned him out to be a Narada Maharshi later. That is the way the sannyasi's relationship with the world is. Because that is what first thing for a sannyasi, that he does not take any ownership for anything. And therefore, a sannyasi is free to move in this world without being affected by that. So whenever such a situation happens to a person, that he gets affected by that, sannyasi has to take note of it himself. That I am getting attached to the place, or attached to something in this world. And his detachment has to develop at that point strong enough. Because if the detachment does not come from sannyasi, from where else it will come? Will it come from an attached householder? Where else it will come? That is why he has been given this highest role to be the role model to the rest of the society. That there is no attachment in his heart to anything. That is, his role is only to develop this detachment in the heart of common people, and also to move further from in his service to Krishna. So that is what you notice in the Bhagavadam. So the second thing, why sannyasi is different? Normally a sannyasi's position is that why he is called a sannyasi? Sannyasi because he is inquiring after something which is permanent, isn't it? Just like I mentioned last time, that several things in this world, we say for example the table, the chair, or the harmonium or a car, they all exist, isn't it? They all exist. Krishna also exists. But we know very well, all these material objects, what we have spoken about, their existence is not permanent. They are subject to change, isn't it? Some of them may last 20 years, some of them may 50 years, some of them may even exist 100 years or 200 years. But ultimately it will lose its form. It doesn't exist in that form anymore. It will break down into its material elements, where it has come from originally. So different material elements takes a different shape, and we see those objects in this world and we think they are permanent. But from Krishna's point of view, none of them is permanent. What is permanent is only Krishna. So when one starts inquiring about a thing which is really permanent, which is Krishna, then he is, that is his role of a sannyasi. That is why it is spoken in the Upanishads as Brahma Satyam Jagal Mithya. Jagat is Mithya because of this, because of its changing nature. This changing nature is very much present in everything which is connected with matter. Nothing is permanent. Whereas this Brahman or this spirit soul is permanent in its nature. It's permanent nature. When one is inquiring after that, then he is a sannyasi. So a sannyasi's nature is these two things. First thing, he does not take the ownership, and he does not take he is only searching for the truth, nothing else in this world. Everything that is matter is not important to him in his inquiry. So therefore, that makes the great distinction. Now, in the answer to this question, when Arjuna asked this question, Krishna's answer is, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. Krishna says, Kamya karmam. Kamya karma means that kind of activity where one is continuously expecting the result. Kamya karmam. Or fruitive activities, which we all are performing in this world, isn't it? Kamya karmam. So when such activities are performed, then when one gives up such fruitive activities, then Krishna says, he is sannyasam kavayo vidu. And sarva karma bhalatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. When one gives up the results of all his activities, even if he is working in this world, say sometimes what happens, in the beginning you can see, there were instances, there were some devotees who gave up their results of all their work to Krishna. So Prabhupada said to them, practically there is no difference between you who is going to work and offering all your results to Krishna and the person who has taken sannyas and moving around in this world preaching Krishna consciousness. They are on the same platform. Krishna Prabhupada said that. Reason for this is this. Sarva karma bhalatyagam. Because he was working for Krishna and offering all his results to Krishna's purpose for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada said that there is no difference. That's why I was saying, actually, strictly speaking, there is no difference between sannyasam and tyagam. Sarva karma bhalatyagam, Krishna says, is not different than kamyanam karma karmanam sannyasam kavayo vidu. Sannyasi who gives up all his kamya karma, he is not working any for fruitive activities, he is a sannyasi. Similarly, sarva karma bhalatyagam, he is also a sannyasi in that sense, because his consciousness is also exactly like that of a sannyasi. That is why it is spoken like that. Generally, sannyasis are categorized in the society as little different, isn't it? When you categorize sannyasis, in which category would you put them? For example, normally in a society, you can put, say, in the common class of people, among the ordinary people, you will put people into working people or people who are not working, or in some category you can put them in. But sannyasi is very difficult because sannyasi has already finished this material world. He has finished with this material world. So sometimes it is said, there is no difference between a sannyasi and a mad person. Why is it like that? There is a reason behind it all. It's not that both of them are not limited by the established society. By the established society. Because in this society, we have certain norms, isn't it? In a society, you act in a particular way. You follow certain rules and regulations. These rules and regulations, the society has established for the functioning of the society. That means that we have to follow. People take this, that, or they have to work hard. You have to earn money and then you have to make a living like this and maintain a family. These are the normal setup in the society. Everywhere in the world follows that. But when it comes to a sannyasi, these rules don't apply. Why? The reason is that he is not bound by the rules of this society. He has transcended them already. He has transcended these rules of the society. Similarly, a mad person also has transcended, isn't it? He is also not bound by the rules. But the only difference is this. A mad person goes downwards because he is in madness, he is doing it without any understanding. But a sannyasi is doing it from a higher platform. Because he has understood Bhagavad Gita and the message of Bhagavad Gita, he is able to give up the work activities for Krishna's sake and he is able to work like that. Therefore, he is going in the higher, he is going higher and the other person is going lower. For example, often sannyasis have great difficulty also because of this. Because when people do not understand a sannyasi's position, often we misunderstand things. For example, why to talk about anything? One sannyasi was saying that when he doesn't have, for example, sannyasis won't have a, generally I'm saying, when one has taken sannyas, he would not have a passport, driving license, or gas bills, electricity bills, everything. Whereas nowadays you go anywhere, if you want to open anything, they will ask for all these things. Have you got all these things? Only then you get. So sannyasi can't do anything. He can't even open a bank account. He has got problems there. Because of all these kind, because sannyasi is not bound by any of these rules what we have set up in this world. That is why sannyasa means this role, he stands above, he stands beyond the rules what the society has established. He is not bound by the rules of the society. Sannyasam kamyanam karma karmanam, kamyanam karmanam yasam, sannyasam kavayo vidum. He stays outside these rules what we have laid down. Therefore, sarva karma bhala tyagam, prahus tyagam vijakshanaham. That sannyasi's consciousness, Krishna says, that he executes his karma knowing very well that whether happiness or distress does not disturb him. Because prarabdham is coming in the form of karma. Karma is come, the results are coming due to prarabdham only. He is in full realization of that. And therefore, he is not affected by that or by the material existence. And because he is fixed up in knowledge properly, jnana nishtha as it is called, because of fixed up in knowledge, he does not, he stays in that situation as a sannyasi. Now, tyagam, as Krishna has mentioned before, or sacrifice, is offering one's whole results of karma to Krishna. That is karma yogam, what we discussed before. We have to know very well why we are bound in this world, why we have to accept another body again, because of karma alone. Karma is the cause of that. When karma binds us more and more to the material world, the only way one can free oneself from that is by offering the results of karma to Krishna. Otherwise, we have no easy way to come out of it. Then karma, Krishna says there, that the very body, material body itself, what we has come from karma, has come from karma. So how can you give up karma? Karma cannot be given up. Karma cannot be given up. Karma has to be executed. But then what is the process to come out of it? Is by offering the results to Krishna. That's what Krishna is saying here. That sometimes people say, okay, if karma is the cause of bondage, why shouldn't I stop working? Why shouldn't I give up karma and stay free from that? This question will come up. That's not the answer Krishna says. Because the very fact that you got this material body, it has come from karma. And you won't be able to stay out of it. Because karma will follow you wherever you go. And that is what is discussed in the next verses. Krishna says that so, in other words, if when one gives up the results of his karma, virtually what he is doing is, he is giving up material existence. Simply he is giving up material existence. So long as one engages in fruitive activities, and all his activities are meant for satisfying his own happiness in this world, material happiness, then he is bound by that. He has to pay the price for it. So otherwise, when one gives up the results of his activities, Krishna says he is not in material existence anymore. Tyajyam doshavadi tyege karma praha manushinaha yajnadana tapakarmam natyajyam iti javareyam. Then in the next verse, Krishna is saying here, giving up karma means one should not give up everything, all karma. Karma means what? Karma means not only going to office and work. That's not the only karma. Karma includes everything. Anything what we do with the mind, body and the senses, that's all karma only. And those activities, everything cannot be rejected. Krishna says, why? Yajnadana tapa karmam matyajyam iti cha avareyam. There is no need to give up yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifices, tapasya or austerities, and dhanam, charity. These things should never be given up. That is Krishna's point. Although one has to give up karma and one has to execute, still these three things, Krishna says, because these things are auspicious for anyone. Even in every ashram, it is auspicious. Only those things which are damaging, activities which are binding a person to this world, they should be given up. But yajnam, dhanam and tapasya. Yajnam means sacrifice, tapasya means austerities, and dhanam means charity. They should not be given up. Why they should not be given up? In order to explain that, in the next few verses, Krishna categorizes them under the three modes again. When you see that, you will see why it shouldn't be given up. Yajnam, dhanam and tapasya. These three things are categorized under three different modes of nature. Namely, sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. And when you see that these things, when they come into sattvagunam, they take a different turn altogether. So let us look at that. What Krishna says, that yajna dana tapa karma natyajyam iti jabare tyajyam dosha vaditiyage karma prahu manishinam. That these activities, if it is executed properly, Krishna says, they are actually helpful for liberation. They will actually helps in this process of liberation. That because it will purify a person. That's why it says it should not be rejected. It should not be given up. Now, sometimes we will notice sometimes some people that they will engage in some kind of activities. Some kind of activities meant for the benefit of the society. Meant for the benefit of the society. They participate in some activities. And after some time, they give it up. After some time, they give it up. And if you ask them, why did you give it up? They will say, oh, because they don't care for me anymore. So I'm not interested in working with them or associating with them. In this way, they pull out from that. Now, when you hear that, you have to understand that he did not execute it as a yajnam, as a sacrifice. On the other hand, what he was doing was, he was taking the ownership of the work what he was doing. So anything what is done in that understanding is not a yajnam at all. It's not a sacrifice at all. Similarly, tapas also, austerities also. Similarly, charity also. So there again, when it is under the modes of nature, especially the modes of goodness, then it will have its desired result. Otherwise, it will only cause more problems to anybody. So, Krishna says here, Nishchayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata satama tyagohi purusha vyakra trivida sampragirtida yajnadana tapakarma na tyajyam karyam evadal yajnodanam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Krishna says, then, Krishna says in the last chapter, yajnam, sacrifice and tapas, austerities and charity, that we have spoken about the three different modes of nature we have discussed. Similarly, now Krishna says, sacrifice or tyagam, or tyagam is the closest word for sacrifice. Sacrifice is the closest word for tyagam. That tyagam also, Krishna says it comes under three modes of nature. In fact, in the last chapter we discussed yajnam, dhanam and tapasya under three modes of nature. Now in this chapter, Krishna discusses the tyagam under the three modes of nature, or sacrifice under the three modes of nature. And Krishna also says, only that sacrifice what is performed in the mood of goodness is auspicious to anyone. Anything what is performed under the modes of rajasam or tamasam, or passion or ignorance, should be given up. Otherwise, what will happen is, such tyagam will only increase the rajogunam and tamogunam. That is what's more important here. That sacrifice what is performed in the mood of goodness will elevate a person. Whereas sacrifice performed in the mood of passion or ignorance will degrade him, will degrade that person. So therefore Krishna says, yajnam, tapasya, dhanam, all these things are not to be given up. Whatever knowledge one has developed, But in order that the material desires to go away from a person is necessary. A material desires has to leave that person. So in order that to happen, the mind has to be purified. And that is what Krishna is discussing now.
Edanya vidu karmani sangam tektva bhalanija kartavyani dime partha nischidam madamuttamam.
Krishna says here, Edanya vidu karmani sangam tektva bhalanija. Krishna says, kartavyani dime partha nischidam madamuttamam.
That one's life, when without attached to anything, completely given up the attachment to the material life, and with the desire for, with the intention, with the understanding of that, executing yam and performing all the activities in that consciousness, that is proper tyagam or sacrifice. Sometimes you may ask the question, if it is without desire, can that be necessary? Is that necessary? If one is fixed up in his spiritual consciousness all the time, then it does not matter. But when one falls from his Krishna consciousness and falls into that situation when one has to act, such activities has to be without desire. That is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it's not Krishna consciousness. For example, we execute so many activities in spiritual life, isn't it? Like we execute the activities, chanting process, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, so many things we do. But sometimes, in order that we are not able to sustain ourselves, we engage in some activities which are not directly connected with spiritual life. But when we execute such activities which are not directly connected with spiritual life, the results that is coming from such activities, if it is not executed, if it is not utilized in Krishna's service, then that is not proper sacrifice. That is not tyagam. Krishna says like that. Sarva dharma bhalatyagam. Kartavyani dime partha nischidam madamuktamam. Therefore, for such people, yajnam, tapas and dhanam is all recommended. So, Krishna says here that edanya vidu karmani sangam tektva bhalanija. Now this karmam, we have seen that before, how troublesome it is throughout life, how it chases us, isn't it? And the activities of this karma, how it follows us at different stages. In the Upanishads there is a statement, it's a very beautiful statement about karma. What does it say? It says, yatha denu sahasreshu valso vindadi madharam. Yatha denu sahasreshu valso vindadi madharam tadha puragranam karmam kartaram anigachadi. Kartaham anigachadi. Yatha denu sahasreshu. Say, thousands of cows are moving together. In that, one calf of a particular cow, the calf will locate its mother cow very easily. It knows whose its mother is. That's what the Upanishad says. Yadha denu sahasreshu valso vindadi madhara. Exactly like that, Upanishad says like this. Exactly like this, just like a calf will locate its cow or mother cow in a group of hundreds of cows which are moving, similarly, the karma, what we have performed, will catch up with us in due course. See? The karma, what we have done, will catch up with us in due course. Exactly like that. It says here, Bindari Mataram Tatha Puragradam Karmam Kartaham Artaram Anigachadi. He will firm and catches at the right time when it is needed. So if somebody is thinking that I can get away from this world by all my clever and tactful and and devious means, and think that I'll get away from all this because I have been very clever, I'm very clever, doesn't work. Doesn't work. That's what Krishna is saying. That it is like this. That is the nature. These are the subtle things of karma. And this is what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita for several chapters. To understand the power of this karma. How it follows us day after day.
and life after life. What to speak about day after day, life after life. And every time when something goes wrong in life, whom do we blame? We blame Krishna for that. And Krishna is telling us, look, what you have created has come back to you. And you don't have to blame me for that. It is your own creation. So that is how it is. That's why in this verse, Edanya vidukarmani sangam tetva phalanija kartavyani dime partha nischidam madamuttamam. So Krishna's point is that unless one's karma is purified, that this is not going to happen. So the question will come now, if it is like that, how to is free from karma? Karma cannot be given up. That will always be there because it's integral part of us creation in us. When we were created, it was also part of it. Rajodigaha karma baraha. Bhagavatam says like this, isn't it? Rajodigaha karma baraha dukhe eja sukhamanina. Devahuri Devi when was talking about Kartavapajali and Devahuri Devi, in that third canto you will see there, Rajodigaha karma baraha. Then Rajogunam is in us. In when we were created, we have come with Rajogunam. And what does it mean? Karma varaha. Continuously work, 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 work. That is part of us. And you cannot escape from that. Even if you give up work, you may give it up for 10 minutes. After that, you'll be back into work again. Rajodigaha, karma varaha. And what else? Dukhe eja sukhamanina. Krishna says, Kavila Vasudev says there actually, that dukhe eja sukhamanina. The beauty of that is that this Rajogunam, the karmam that has come from Rajogunam, the nature of that karmam is like this, that it will falsely give you an impression that you are becoming happy in your life by this karmam. This is the falsity of karmam. That executing karmam, one is thinking all the time that I'll become happy tomorrow. If not tomorrow, day after I'll be happy. If not, I'll be happy. This thought is what's keeping this life going in this world. Otherwise you won't be able to get up in the morning and go to office if this thought is not there, because this is always the hoping against the hope is always there. But and one day when everything comes to an end, we don't analyze again, the whole life I have been doing this, what, did I become happy at the end? No, it never happened. But this thought like this, Rajodigaha karma varaha, Rajogunam has created this feeling in us, that karma varam, continuously by karma one will become happy. But Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is teaching us that karma does not make a person happy. It will only become happy, it will only allows, it can be only used for one purpose only, to get out of this material existence, provided if that karma is directed in the proper way, in the proper direction. Rajodigaha karma varaha dukhe eja sukhama anina. That not only that, continuously after working so many years in one way or the other, the result that from that is also distress at the end. But then we have developed this understanding that even though it is distress, we say, after all, what is life? And we take shelter like that from that. We try to make ourselves a bit peaceful by my thinking in that way. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. Dukheja sukhamanina. It is dukkham. At the end, it's all dukkham. But even in that dukkham, he's thinking it is sukham. It is happiness. So this is the point what Bhagavatam is making us up to this reality. And Krishna is also saying the same thing here. Now, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Niyadasya dusanyasam karmano nobhavadyade mohatasya parityagam tamasa parigirtidaha. Now, Krishna is saying here that what is sacrifice in the mode of ignorance? Now he is going to talk about everything under three modes. Krishna never seems to be satisfied talking about the three modes of nature. Continuously in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, you can see this last six chapters, if you look from chapter 13 to 18, how much coverage has been given for three modes of nature. How much coverage has been given to three modes of nature? Because if you see the three modes of nature, which is nothing but Maya's three agents, isn't it? Maya's three agents. They call it as three ropes through which we have been bound in this world. Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. So through these three ropes, Maya has bound us in this world. And liberation means liberation from Maya.
isn't it? Liberation from the three modes of nature. Liberation from three modes of nature means liberation from Maya. So because it is such an important topic, these three modes of nature, everything Krishna brings it under the category of these three modes. Everything is comes under this whole chapter, 18th chapter, the 18th chapter also, Krishna is again bringing the three modes of nature and brings everything under the three modes of nature. So here, in this verse, Krishna says, Niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano nopapadyate mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parigirtidaha. That, what is the type of tyagam or sacrifice one does when he is in the mode of ignorance? That is what is discussed in this verse. That, if you do not execute the prescribed duties, if one does not execute, Krishna says that is in the mode of ignorance. That sacrifice is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. So, these prescribed duties generally, in the Bhagavad Gita, prescribed duties refer to Varnashrama Dharmam. But because Varnashrama Dharmam doesn't exist as it used to be in its pure form, and because all the Varna and Ashram has been so much mixed up in the modern world, the conclusion of the Acharyas on this is that even if whatever position one is put into, if he does not execute his duty in that position, then it is a sacrifice in the mode of ignorance. Krishna says it is a sacrifice in the mode of ignorance, because Niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano nopapadyate mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parigirtidam. That it has come from moham, from delusion it has happened. That he is only making the sacrifice because of his distress in this world. You see, sometimes people give up work out of distress, isn't it? I had enough of it and I wish I had been doing something different. And he gives up work and thinks that let me do something different now. That is forbidden. From Bhagavad Gita's point of view, it's not proper. Because, see, any knowledge that comes from distress is considered to be ignorant. Any knowledge that comes from distress. Krishna says here, when you give up something out of distress, when he gives up something from distress, that cannot stay forever. Because it's not based on knowledge. It's not based on any knowledge. Temporarily, because he has been inflicted with some unhappiness in life, either at work, because his approach to work is not proper. That is where that dissatisfaction has come. He has never done it for the sake as a sacrifice in life. All it was the attachment and the result. It's a very difficult thing for most everyone to take it easily. But once you understand the principle of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining here that out of distress and frustration, if you give up work which has been allocated to you, that distress, that knowledge what has come from that is not perfect. And therefore, whatever sacrifice you are doing at that time or giving up at that time is also not proper. That is Krishna's point. And that kind of giving up is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, because from dukkham, from distress, jnanam has come, ignorance has come. From distress what happens? One become ignorant. And from ignorance, one making sacrifice. And therefore it will not work. This is Krishna's point. So, sometimes we see people, every one of us gone through this in life, that at some stage in life, we feel that if I can retire at 40, or can retire at 45, or retire at 50, we think like this, isn't it? Why is that? Because our relationship with the work has been like that. We have always taken it that this work is just a... Because of my working, I'm not making any spiritual progress. This is what he is thinking. But that is not true. It's not because he is working, he's not making spiritual progress. The fact is that he's not making spiritual progress because one, the attitude towards work is also not right. And secondly, the understanding
that work alone can become a factor in his purification. That is also forgotten. That's also forgotten. Due to some reason, whatever it may be, due to our own past activities, due to various reasons, one has been put into one particular situation. Now, while Krishna's point is, whatever situation when one is thrown at, even in that situation, if he has the proper knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and he executes his work on that understanding, then even that can become a factor in his spiritual life, a progress in the spiritual path. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. So, in order to understand, that's why sometimes we say that we develop such understanding that if I can leave at 40, everybody has a plan to leave at 50, I'm sure. Often you will find this in the newspapers and advertisements also. Sometimes some people advertise, some companies, how can you leave at 50 the job? They'll tell you how to leave, do that. As though at 50 if you leave, the life is going to be very rosy after that. And then another type of worry starts from then on, after 50. You have left the worries at work, but you have developed another set of worries at that time. You are not going to go to spiritual life even after that. So the problem is that we find excuses not to take to spiritual life. That's what basically it is. So now we will blame the work. Afterwards we will blame the family. Then we will blame the society. Then we will blame somebody else. Like this will pass our time. We won't do what is necessary to be done today. So that is where the whole problem is. Work is not the problem. That Krishna is saying here, when you have understood that in what one, Krishna does not expect miracles from us, but what he expects us is to understand Bhagavad Gita. And here, Krishna is saying here, that mohartasya parityagam tamasa parigirtida. Any sacrifice that's been made under this distress or ignorance, it's considered to be tamasam, tamasic in nature. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. Karmam we have seen before. Karmam has got two problems, isn't it? What are they? We talked about when you spoke karma yogam. Abhikramam. Abhikramam means abhikramam and pratyavayam. Two things we spoke about this. That one thing about karmam is that if you start a particular thing, not completing it. Not completing it. This is one of the parts of the defect in the karmam. Karmam's defect it is. When you execute karmam, if you start something, you should complete it. Otherwise, it's half done. That karmam is not considered to be proper. Sometimes you will see people, they have very different understanding of karmam. They are always trying to do things what's necessary, here and there, little things. If somebody says something, they will do a little bit of that, just to keep him happy. And they will do something else or somebody else to keep them happy. This way he goes on doing things. And this is one of the defects of the karmam. Abhikramam it is called. And the other one is called pratyavayam. Pratyavayam means that, we talked about this while discussing karma yoga. Pratyavayam means that you are doing certain things not with the full understanding or doing things wrongly and results coming in the wrong way without fully knowing about the every aspect of the karmam that is involved. So different problems happens while executing karmam also. But in spite of that, that even if such different difficulties exist, these two difficulties exist, but still karmam has to be executed. That is the important point. For example, if you have planted a seed, you have planted a seed of a plant, and after the plant comes out, there are other things to be done for the plant to get stronger and to start flowering and to give the fruits, isn't it, later. But if you think that I have sown the seed, the plant has come out, my duty is over, and I have pulled out of it, that means you have not completed that karmam. Karmam is not complete. That is called abhikramam. That's called abhikramam. So these kind of problems exist in karmam. Pratyavayam and abhikramam is a common part of that. So even though such difficulties exist in karmam, Krishna is saying that if it is executed as karma yogam, that can relieve one from the any disastrous results from that. Then, dukkham ityeva yel karmam, kaya klesha bhaya tyajel, sakrutva rajasam tyagam, neiva tyagavalam lebhel. Now, Krishna is talking about tyagam or sacrifice in the mode of passion. Dukkham ityarayal karmam kaya klesha bhayate jail. Sometimes, when we find that something is very demanding for the kaya klesha means it is too much for the body to do it. So we don't want to do it. It is, why trouble yourself so much if I can get away without doing it? So this kind of actions, which is based on giving up karmam for the sake of, for fear of pain into the body, or for the fear of that it is going to cause some difficulties in life, that in that way, when one gives up karmam, Krishna says, dukkham ityegam eh karmam kaya klesha bhayate jail, due to kaya klesham, due to the distress in the body, distress for the body, if he gives it up, Krishna says, sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyagavalam lephel, that is considered to be in the mode of passion, in the mode of passion. In other words, for sustaining the body, we give up karmam sometimes, things which are to be done, that we are not willing to perform that. And that is only because of the fear of that, my own body may suffer, I may perish, or I may get into difficulty. Because of the fear, we do things. And that is in the mode of passion, Krishna says. Now, both of these things, both these kind of, two kinds of tyagam, sacrifices, Krishna says, rajasam and tamasam, both are not considered to be good. Then, what is sattvikam? What is, Krishna says now, what is sattvikam in the mode of goodness? Kāryam ityamayal karmam niyata kriyate arjuna saṅgam tyaktvā bhalam caiva satyāga sattvikomadam. Kāryam ityamayal karmam niyatam kriyate arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, that karmam, what is executed for the sake of the that it has been executed without any attachment. He executes his work as though, as a duty it is done, and without expectation of any results. And if he executes it in that way, and he continues as a sacrifice it is done, that is, Krishna calls it as sattvikam, in the mode of goodness. That only with that, Krishna says, a proper purification will happen to the person. Otherwise he will not be purified. When one continuously execute work in the mode of passion or ignorance, that execution will not purify him. On the other hand, when work is executed in the mode of goodness, which means without any attachment, whether the good or bad results come, or even the results are not completely to his satisfaction, still he carries on with his activities. The results of such activities, Krishna says, will be that such a person will develop the proper understanding of spirit soul. That will come from that. Then one has to develop the desire for sense gratification. It is, that's what Krishna is pointing at. That when karmam is executed simply for sense gratification, that is binding. And when it is executed for pleasing Krishna, that's liberating. And that is called the saṅgam jaktva balam jaiva satyaga satyo madaha. Now, sometimes we ourselves in our own life, if you look at it, you have to do certain things. And sometimes you give up certain things. Even personal life also you can see. Either due to laziness or due to feeling that it's not necessary, if I can give up that. For example, somebody is working in an office. He's living alone, working in an office. He works after whole day. When he's tired, he comes home. When he comes home, he finds that, I have to now cook to eat. On the other hand, rather the easiest thing for me is to phone up for the takeaway and get the food from there. This is the karmam, this is the kind of mode of ignorance that permeates in a person. So he knows that in order to live in this world, he has to eat food. And in order to eat, he has to cook. That is the right way to deal with it. But instead, if he thinks, because he is feeling that, I have little bit, now I'm tired, I don't want to do anything anymore. Rather, I'll sit in front of the telly and watch telly when it gets delivered. I'm working, so what's the matter? What's the problem? If he thinks like that, then that is in the mode of passion and ignorance. That's in the mode of passion, ignorance. Whereas, even after a hard day's job, when he comes home, if he has to still cook and eat, and he's able to do that, still he can say that he is acting in the mode of goodness. Still in the mode of goodness. Because he has realized it is something that has to be done. And that he is not feeling it's all a question of mind only. The mind comes a big role in there. So that's why Krishna is talking about very specifically here.
Nadvaishta kushalam karma kushalena anushajjane tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshayah.
Now, nadvaishta kushalam karma kushalena anushajjane. Because although Krishna has spoken about yajnam, sacrifices, and all kinds of charities and tapasya, austerities and everything, Krishna says one should not get attached to it. That's more important, because we are not living in this world just to perform them. We are performing them to purify us. That is the most important thing. These kind of activities, purificatory activities, even karma, is not just performing here, just to live in this body, to maintain this body. Krishna is telling us that we must get out of that conception. Rather, we should always be conscious, I am doing this particular activity in order to purify myself. That is the goal of all these things. And therefore, if one has developed that attachment, Krishna says, when unpleasant activities, when one has to perform, he would not get unhappy with it. Nor he will be happy when he has to perform some pleasant activities. In other words, it is the consciousness of a person when he works in this world that matters. How his attitude towards work is. Whether sometimes we complain, oh, I didn't want to do that work, but I'm willing to do this because I enjoy doing this. I don't enjoy doing that. In other words, this division in karma, something is I like and something I don't like, shouldn't happen. That's what Krishna is saying. This division of karma is not proper. Because when one divides karma like that, he cannot execute karma yoga. That's the problem. That's the problem. Sometimes we think that, oh, in an office or in a workplace, there will be all different kinds of work involved. And some of the work we like to do, some of them we don't. But when we start separating them out, that causes problem as well. That's what Krishna is saying. Nadvaishta kushalam karma kushalena anushajjane tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshayah. In other words, things which are not very pleasing or which are not very auspicious, he will not curse them. And at the same time, if the activities are pleasing, he is not going to get attached to it either. That, in other words, he does not make selection in his karma. He executes, this is karma has to be performed, and he performs with detachment such karma. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then, in other words, he has no hate towards karma. When one starts hating the karma, then all this division will happen from that. Karma, the approach to karma, that is why karma yoga has been spoken so much. Krishna is again repeating what he has spoken in the third chapter, once again in this 18th chapter, going through the whole thing again to make us, bring us back to the point again. So, medhavi chinna samshaya. Because if he has no discrimination like that, he accepts it, good or bad, whatever it is, such a person, Krishna says, he does not have doubts about it. Because he knows what is this. It is only karma has been performed to as a yoga. So when it is performed as a yoga, then he has no difficulty from there. He is not disturbed by that or is not feeling any difficulty in executing the karma. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, so Krishna says here, because he has not developed a lot of attachment or hate, attachment or aversion or hate towards any karma, he is properly situated, in other words, and he will be in the process of the spiritual life, he is moving forward. So sometimes, just to give you an example, that sometimes people's attachment develops in different forms. Sometimes people who are very wealthy or who have great facilities, material facilities in their life, due to their rajasic nature, when the association, the rajogunam predominates in them, they will have a tendency to declare that to the world also. That also happens, isn't it? So such kind of things, is only coming from Rajogunam. Whereas in the mood of goodness, it is difficult to act in that way. Mood of goodness is difficult to act in that way. This is particular, just to give you an example. Once it so happened that one person, due to his, obviously due to hard work and very intelligent planning or whatever it is called, he has developed a lot of wealth in his life. He has developed a lot of wealth in his life. And eventually he because after acquiring the wealth, the next thing what he wants to do is to, he has to make aware of the rest of the world that he is wealthy, isn't it? That's also nature, well, acquiring the wealth. So he purchased a huge estate of coffee or tea or whatever it was, a huge estate. And after buying the estate, he was thinking about it, that thousands of acres estate now I own in this world. I own thousands of acres of estate. So after that, he was, while talking to his friend, he told him that the estate is so big, it takes so much time for me to have a look around the whole estate during the day. I start driving my car in the morning, by the time I finish, it's evening, he says to him. It takes so much time for me that it is so big that it takes so much time for me to finish looking after this estate. That's how I spend my time, he said. So the other person understood what he was trying to say. He said to him, he replied back saying like this, he said, I also had a car like that, but I sold it, he said. He said, he was telling that in the car it takes so much time for me to go through this whole estate, but the other person says, I also had a similar car, but I sold it, he said. So in other words, that Rajogunam, it is very difficult. It is very, very difficult. When one is confronted with wealth to a large degree, and when one does not want to take ownership from that, when one doesn't want to take ownership from that, ownership will come. It will not allow you to stay separate from that. The interesting thing is, when Prabhupada's original Bhagavad Gita, if you look, original Bhagavad Gita, which has been now edited a few times in different situations, he says there, Prabhupada says there, only if you see the subtle differences, you can see the how this difference do affect. In the original Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says there, one should live simply. One should live simply, he says. This is while talking about the devotee's life. Devotee's life. Prabhupada says, one should live simply. In the edited version, it comes out in a little different way. It says, one should live, instead of saying, somehow the other editors may have felt it, that simply the word is not proper in the language, I don't know what it is. But the meaning that word simply conveys is a lot more than what it has been edited. When it's edited, it comes out that one should live simple and live a straightforward life. It has been turned like that in the edited version. Now, when you go home, please think about it, these two things. What Prabhupada has written in the original Bhagavad Gita is one should live simply. In the edited version it says one should live a simple life and be straightforward. I don't know whether you have sensed the differences in that or how much difference it's going to come out from there. That these are the things that it is very difficult, that when one develops attachment to the material life, our understanding also will change from that, because Rajogunam and Tamogunam can easily win over. That is why these words which are used originally, even though it may be grammatically may not be accurate, but the principle that brings forth remains intact. That cannot be changed. Remains intact. So therefore, in many times when we read the commentary on Bhagavad Gita, that Prabhupada's words are, it may not, I don't know, the grammatical explanations or grammatical explanations or grammatical usage may not be totally perfect, I don't know. But on the other hand, the message it conveys is precise. that to live simply means you have to be living a simple life. That's what it means. But when it becomes the other way, it twists the meaning to some degree. And that is the things what Krishna is saying here, that the meaning of these words, what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, if they are not taken as they are, then that will also cause some problems. Dukkha vithyavayal karmam kaya klesha bhayatyajil sagatva rajasam tyagam naiva tyagavalam label nadveshta kushalam karma kushale nanu shajjare tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshayaham. That Krishna is saying here that with that understanding, if one executes karmam, that is perfect. Now, if you move on to the next verse, verse 11. Nahi deha brada shakyam tektam karmanya sheshada yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyade. That as long as one has a material body, Krishna says, nahi deha brada shakyam tektam karmanya sheshada, one cannot give up karmam. That is the most interesting thing. As long as one has material body, one cannot give up karmam, because this very body itself has come from karmam. That's the most important thing. And just by giving up karmam, one is not performing sacrifice either. On the other hand, Krishna is saying, what is to be given up is not karmam, but actually the results of karmam. That is where Krishna has talked about that. Then, whatever, one may give up karmam or one may not give up karmam. But prarabdham, that has come from our body, from what has caused this body, one has to experience it, isn't it? That you cannot give up. Out of the three kinds of karma, prarabdham, agamam and sanchidam, three kinds of karma. Prarabdham is the one which has caused this body. So when the body has been given to us by material nature, it's automatically understood that in this body a certain degree of happiness and certain degree of distress will be there. That is called the prarabdham. And that prarabdham cannot be given up. Prarabdham cannot be wiped out by any means. Whether you perform karmam or you don't perform karmam, it is going to come and be there throughout the life. So what is the point? Krishna is saying that by giving up karmam, you are not going to escape from prarabdham. That's the most important thing. On the other hand, the point Krishna is making is change the karmam in such a way that let that become karma yogam. That is the point Krishna is making. And it is the same verse, what is in the Upanishads also you will find. If you take to the Ishopanishad, you will see there, in the second verse, what Krishna says, what Vedavyasa Maharshi says there. In the second verse he says, Kurvan eveha karmani jiyushek chulam samaha evam toyi nanya devasti na karma lipyade nare. Translation, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years. He says here, you can live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on doing work in that way. Because that sort of work will not bind him to the loss of karma, and there is no alternative to this way for man. Na karma, na karma lipyade nare. If karma is executed as karma yogam, then hundreds of years, Krishna Upanishad is saying, hundreds of years you can execute karma in this world. In that way, you will be released from the it will purify you. Otherwise, na karma lipyade nare. Such a karma will not stick. All the other karma executed for sense gratification will stick to us, because that will come back, it will follow us. The results of that karma will follow us in one way or the other. Whereas Upanishads is saying here that you can, don't give up work. You can work for hundreds of years in this life as long as the body allows. To work, one can work, but at the same time, na karma lipyade nare, that such a work, if it's executed for a very, very long period of time, it does not bind him to this world. This is the message. Karman kurvan eveha karmani jijivishek chanam samaha evam tvai manyade dosti na karma lipyade nare. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on doing work in that way. And because that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma, because such work will not bind him to the law of karma, and there is no alternative to this way for man. Upanishads are saying one cannot give up karma in that way. There is no alternative to that by giving up karma. So, Krishna says here that yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tavidiyade. one who gives up karmam, one who offers the results of karmam, in this way his service or his activities is full of tyagam, is sacrifice. Such a person can be referred to as tyagi. Otherwise he is a bhogi. So with that, in the three, Krishna has analyzed the tyagam or sacrifice also under the three modes of nature. Then Krishna says in the next verse, anishtam ishtam ishamja trividham karmana phalam bhavatya tyaginam pretya nadu sanyasinam kujil. All, Krishna says, all activities has got the results, and the results will be either it will be completely pleasing or it will be completely distressful, or it will be a mixture of both. And the results of pious activities will be happiness, the results of demoniac activities will be distress, and the mixture of these activities will be results also will be in mixture. But as long as one has attached to these results of these activities, it will bind him. And in that verse, Krishna is also talking about the results, how it binds everybody in this world. Whereas on the other hand, Krishna says that sannyasis who have given up all the attachment to their results, who are working in this world, in that consciousness, they are not affected by anything. Whatever their activities either may be good or bad, it is still on a higher transcendental platform. So we'll stop there now. I will continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.